Okay, let's get started. Are there any questions? Questions? The project is due on Wednesday, right? Everything going well? Good. Okay. So we talked about authorities hubs last class, and actually talked also about PageRank. Basically, the idea being to use the link information to measure some notion of importance of the page. So what was the difference between authorities hubs view? So we started, just barely started talking about PageRank last time, and then what is the difference between the way authorities hubs and PageRank looks at the importance of a page?
Remembering right, authorities hub gives two different scores, whereas PageRank just gives one score.
One score. Now, what's the one score of PageRank supposed to be? We talked about. It's basically, we talked about it. Essentially, it's supposed to be just the fraction of time a user, a random surfer, is likely to spend on that page in steady state. Okay, so it's the probability that that you know, if you randomly sample this person after they reach steady state, they would be actually on this page. What's the probability that they would be looking at this page? Okay, and the higher that probability, somehow the assumption is the more important that page. Okay, so this is basically, I believe, saying that think of web as big graph. Random surfer keeps randomly clicking on the links. The importance of the page is the probability that the surfer finds herself on that page. Okay, so talk of now. Normally, when you start talking about probabilities, one idea would be to think of the pages. The different pages on the web are actually states, and the links between pages are transitions. Okay, so you could start talking about Markov chains. Markov chains are essentially a bunch of states. Such that you can transition from one state to other with certain probabilities. Okay, so what we are talking about is a web-sized Markov chain. Okay, so I would, and whenever you have a Markov chain, you need, you have a bunch of states and you need the transition probabilities. What's the probability that you would transition from this state to various other states? That number needs to be given. Okay, so you need a transition probability matrix to define the Markov chain. If there are n pages on the web, the transition probability matrix would be an n by n transition matrix. Okay. Basically, what that means is each column of this matrix would add up to 1, which is the total probability mark. Okay. So you could basically talk of a transition matrix instead of an adjacency matrix. And you'll see that, in fact, transition matrix is derived from the adjacency matrix. What you do is you take the transpose of the adjacency matrix and normalize it. We'll see that in a minute, okay? And then, so for example, if there are F number of forward links from the page U, then you would assume that the probability that the surfer clicks on any one of them to be uniform, so 1 over F of U. Now, so you're making an assumption here that all links are created equal. So if there is a link, then you're likely to take it with the same probability. Okay. And then, of course, if you do it this way, the columns sum to 1, it's called a transition matrix or a stochastic matrix. And now this would be, this M would be defining the transition of a Markov chain. And given a Markov chain, the usual question people are interested in asking, the first question is, what are the steady state probabilities? Okay, basically what's the steady state probability that if you let, you know, if you start in some state and you start, you know, making these transitions, if you keep going, is there any reason to believe that after a certain amount of time, the occupancy of these various states in the Markov chain would stabilize to specific probabilities. Okay, and those of you who heard of Markov chains, and a lot of you must have, right? You guys did probability statistics, right? So there is, you must have done Markov chains at that time. If not, you're again doing it here. Okay, Markov chains, essentially, you know that under certain conditions, the steady state probabilities do exist, and surprisingly enough, in fact, they are connected to the eigenvector, the first eigenvector of the matrix, of the transition matrix. Okay? Now, of course, this is the beginning part. However, we could see that even a dumb user may once in a while do something other than follow the URLs on the current page. Okay? So you may want to reset every once in a while. So what you could do is you can take that into account by just modifying the transition matrix. You could say that with probability P, you would do what the page says you should do, and with probability 1 minus P, you do something else. Okay, now it turns out that what you do when you are not following orders is actually an interesting issue. Okay, if you are not following orders as being given by these pages who are staring in front of you, what are you likely to do? Well, you know, depending on your background, you might go to certain pages with higher probability and just stick there. So in fact, it turns out that the way you deal with this, that is what you do when you are not following the page links, could actually say something about you, the user. Okay, I'll put this out here, but then we'll come back to it, because that's the only component, it turns out, is somehow that could be made user specific. It could be made user specific. You know PageRank in Google. Is PageRank user sensitive? Nah. They don't really care that you're using Google. You're not giving too much money to them. So is PageRank is essentially one PageRank for everybody concerned. Okay. And yet I would think that certain pages should be given higher rank because I, a computer science professor, is doing the search versus somebody else from a completely different walk of life is doing the search. Okay. We can see why that should be the case, but there is, in normal sense, in the normal page rank computation, you don't do that kind of a customization. But if you were to be interested in doing the customization, this is the place you can actually make it. Now, normally what we do actually is in the page rank computation is that you'd say with 1 minus p probability, you would just jump to any part in the web. Any random page on the web. So if there are n pages on the web, then the probability that you jump to any one of those pages would be 1 over n. Okay? So that basically makes everybody be equivalent in their behavior. So you keep following the pages for a while, and every once in a while you reset yourself and randomly jump to any page in the world, which is obviously not likely, but that's the model we'll start with. Okay? So if you have that, so here is basically a transition, the simple transition matrix. So you have a little graph here, and this is its adjacency matrix. Okay, so for example, there's a 1 here because there's a link from A to C. Okay, and this is the M matrix. And what M matrix is, if you actually look at it, it's nothing but A transpose. So once you get A transpose, you would get here 1, 1, 0, 0. And for each column, you normalize them. Divide each element by the number of ones in the column. That's all you need to do. Okay? Of course, you can also think of it as the following way. You can say that, well, A has, from A, okay, you only have one link to C. So with probability 1, you would go to C if you are in A. And similarly, from D, you have 2 links, A and B, so with probability half you go to A, probability half you go to B. Okay, so this is the first page rank idea, first transition matrix, and then you can improve this essentially by talking about the fact that even random surfers get bored, and so they want to actually shift over to some other part of the web every once in a while. So a way you could actually do that is, in fact, let me see. Well, let's go in step by step. That's okay. So the way you could do actually that is, this is your original matrix, okay? P times this plus 1 minus P times a matrix of 1 by n. 1 minus P times a matrix of 1 by n. Does that make sense to people? You add them up. Now, the P is the probability that you want to associate with exploration versus following of the links. Okay, so if P is 1, then that's basically what, this is the only matrix you care about. Okay, now here's the interesting thing. It turns out that that's more or less what we would do, but we would get to it slowly by actually saying that, why don't we actually start with just this matrix? Why don't we use this? One way you should not be using this is, as I said, you might actually want to jump to some other page every once in a while. But there are also technical reasons why you might want to jump. You might want to not use M as it is. It turns out that a Markov chain would have steady state probabilities only if certain conditions are satisfied. Okay? And it so happens that those conditions essentially tell you to add these 1 by n's anyway. Okay? So the two conditions are that a Markov chain is going to be guaranteed to converge to steady state probabilities if it is aperiodic. That means it's not a big cycle. Okay? And which is pretty much the case for web graph. And the second one is, it's irreducible, which means the Markov chain is not made up of components. So the graph is not made up of components, disconnected components. Okay, now this sort of reminds you of something, doesn't it? When graph was made up of components, we gotten into trouble in Hitch's algorithm. The authorities Hubbs algorithm is also called Hitch's algorithm. Okay, the Hitch's algorithm essentially did get into trouble exactly when there were disconnected components, because all the authority and all the hubness would go to the biggest component. And there is some justice in the world. It turns out that, in fact, if the transition matrix is basically does have distinct components, then you are not going to terminate. You're not going to converge to steady state probability. Now, normal web graphs don't necessarily have to be irreducible, so we will force them to be irreducible. And the way you could force them to be irreducible is in essence to actually add this 1 by n behavior. Okay? There's one little thing that is left, which is this one little change. In fact, with that change, actually, you are guaranteed to have steady state probabilities. Okay? Now, the question, of course, is, you want to set the right transition matrix so that its steady state probabilities have probably better connection to what you think should be the importance measure of the page. Okay, so there are like two issues. Technical issue is, there better be an answer. Okay, a semantic issue is, the answer better have something to do with page importance. Okay, just for the answer to be there, it must be reducible. Okay, and one other thing that is needed is, if the graph has sync nodes. If the graph has sync nodes, okay, then basically what that means is, if you ever get to that state, you'll never get out. That's one way Markov chains will not have steady state probabilities, right? If there are three sync nodes, based on your luck, you would jump into one of them, and that's where you'll stay. Okay, so those are three different steady state probability distributions. Okay, we want a unique steady state probability distribution. So it turns out that having sync nodes is a problem. And of course, if you did do this random surfer jumping to anywhere in the world, sync nodes no longer exist. You agree with me, right? However, in fact, most applications of PageRank wind up actually doing first take care of the sync nodes and then take care of this. First take care of the sync nodes and then take care of the random server thing on top. So for every sync node, you first go and actually make it be 1 by n probability that is jump to every other node. And then on top of that, you take this entire M matrix multiplied by P plus 1 minus P times a bunch of 1 by n. That's the way you set up the transition matrix. Okay, so the final M star, the one that on which is guaranteed to be irreducible and which will have a steady state probability distribution, is got by starting from M, which you know, okay, adding Z. Basically, this matrix which will have 1 over N in the columns corresponding to the sync nodes, if there are sync nodes. If not, it will just have zeros. And if you add these two, then you have actually taken care of there not being any sync nodes in the page. And then you multiply that by probability P, and I am calling it C for some reason, and then 1 minus C times K, where K is what the random surfer does when the random surfer gets sick and tired of life and wants to jump somewhere else. And we are saying random surfer is particularly uncreative and just jumps to one of the pages in the web with 1 over n probability. Okay? And once you have that, that's your beginning, that's your transition matrix. Now, to find the first eigenvector of this transition matrix, you just do power iteration on it. So PageRank computation is a humongous power iteration. Now, in fact, one interesting question is, why do we even, so it turns out that the first stochastic matrices of this type, the first eigenvalue will always be 1. A matrix is called stochastic matrix if its columns sum to 1. Okay, for those matrices, the first eigenvalue would always be 1, and the others would be complex. Okay, and the eigenvector corresponding to that would give you the probability vector. Now, there's a little, very small, detailed trick here. You're not going to divide, to make a vector, normalize a vector, normally we've been dividing it by the Euclidean norm. Now you won't do that. You just divide it by the sum of all the entries, because you want them to sum to 1. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, basically it's a probability vector, so it should sum to 1. So you get the eigenvector, and then to make it unit vector, you just divide the vector by the sum of its values. I mean, each element of the vector by the sum of the values. Then you get guaranteed to get the probability vector. So you just do that. And so you start with some rank, and you multiply that rank by m star to get the next rank, and you keep doing it until the difference between ri and ri minus 1 is very small. And that would be essentially the rank has stabilized. At that point, you can stop. And all these calisthenics we did here ensure that the rank will stabilize, because you're guaranteed to have a steady state probability distribution, a unique steady state probability distribution. Okay. Okay. So for this little example of ours, this was the original M. Okay. And if I were to do M plus Z plus whatever the K thing with 0.8 is the probability that I'll follow the page, and 0.2 is the probability that I'll do something else. Okay. Then I'll get this graph. So now if you compare this graph to this previous graph, you'll notice that there are no zero entries in this case, because from any page, you can always go to any other place. Okay? Oh, what am I doing? And then, you know, there was actually in the previous case, were there any sync nodes? Were there any sync nodes in the previous case? No. In this graph, there are no sync nodes. From everywhere, you are able to get out. Right? You can get out of A, you can get out of B, you can get out of C, you can get out of D. So in fact, for this graph, the z factor didn't change anything. Okay? Now if you have this, then MATLAB will basically tell you that the probabilities are the following. Rank of A is 0.338, rank of B is 0.338, rank of C is 0.6367, rank of D is 0.6052. Okay, that's all. So those are, that turns out to be the first eigenvector. The direction of the first eigenvector normalized such that the sum of the numbers would be 1. Okay. Oh, here's another interesting thing. In fact, I said stochastic matrix will have first eigenvalue to be 1, but that's less important than the fact that all these numbers are positive. If the eigenvector wound up having some directions negative and some directions positive, then you'll have fun trying to interpret negative probabilities. But thankfully, it so happens that for stochastic matrices, you're guaranteed to have the first eigenvector to be all positive. Okay, so there is a internal coherence to this structure nicely. So in fact, for the stochastic matrices, you would have all positive numbers, and so you can normalize them into a probability distribution. Okay. So for this exact same thing, just to put this in perspective, I thought I'll show you, what was I trying to show you? Okay, I was trying to show you, so these are the eigenvectors. Forget about the sign. All minuses is the same as all plus. Okay, so this is the numbers that I showed you just now for the page rank. And if you do A and H analysis, this is what you would get. Okay? So basically, let's see, what can we make sense of here? Wait. What am I showing here? I'm confused now. There's something wrong with this. I'll get back to you on what I meant by this slide later. But one thing I do want you to understand is, for the same structure, you can do both authorities hubs analysis and the page rank analysis. They just give two different numbers, and you can decide which interpretation you want to use for importance. Okay, page rank essentially uses the interpretation of steady state probabilities of a random subset. Okay. Now, I said one thing, which is, if you want the page rank to be user specific, if you want to make page rank to be user specific, one thing you could do is fiddle with the K. Okay. So, for example, instead of K being the same for the entire world, there could be K computer science. That's the K for the computer science nerds who tend, if you have nothing to do, hopefully to go to ACM page or some such thing. Okay? And then there'll be a K for drama majors, and there'll be a K for real estate agents. Okay? Now, if you just throw that in, everything else being the same, then basically you'd wind up getting, for the population of computer science users, there's a separate page rank for each page. And the population of real estate agents is a separate page rank for each page. And so now, if you know what user is actually doing the search, you could use the right page rank. That's an idea of making the page rank be user specific. And in fact, people have tried that. So I just mentioned this to you because that's one place where you can actually do that. Okay? You do not want to play with this, in essence, because what does it mean to have a different behavior? I mean, anybody who's looking at the page should probably do the same thing as to what the page is asking them to do. But when they're not following the page, then they can go to their, whatever, the comfort zone, which might be ACM page for computer science folks and, houses for sale page for real estate folks. Okay. Okay, now, as described here, PageRank is essentially is another way of doing importance computation. It could be wherever you're using authorities hubs, you could use PageRank and vice versa. Okay, However, just as authorities have in the original paper wound up doing A and H computation along with this base set sort of an idea. So basically, you first run the query, get the pages that are similar with respect to vector space similarity, and then you extend that set and then do online analysis of importance. So A and H, as given in the original paper, was meant to be used in the online. But I mentioned last time that you don't have to use it online. You could do it offline. Page rank, as given, has been given to be an offline approach. But it doesn't have to be. You could do it online too. Okay? But the way basically Google, for example, uses it is that page rank is used as an offline computation. So you do computation of the entire web graph, page rank for the entire web graph up front. Okay? And then you keep these numbers with you. And then when the query comes, you also get the similarities, the vector space similarities of a bunch of pages, you know, highly similar pages. And so you compute the score of a document with respect to a query as alpha times the page rank plus beta times the content similarity. Pretty sad stuff, but that's basically what is done. Okay. The online version is sort of interesting because it makes it tiered. First, you get the pages that are at least textually relevant. Okay. And then among them, look for the most important pages. And you could do this for page rank too. There's nothing that stops you from doing it. Okay. So the reason I'm probably belaboring this point is in the popular imagination, page rank, to the extent there is a popular imagination for these things, page rank is meant to be an offline thing, and A and H is meant to be an online thing. That's not required. The main difference between them is one is meant to be using authorities and hubs as a different measures of importance. The other is using the notion of probability of a steady state probability of a random sample as the notion of importance. That ultimately is the difference. Okay. Okay. I would skip this now. I'll mention it a little bit now. There's been a lot of work that's been done on trying to make PageRank something more than one size fits all. Okay. Currently, it's one size fits all. I mean, it's essentially there's a single page rank for each page. And it has nothing to do with the query, really. Okay? And so one interesting idea is how do you make it not, how do you make it such that it's not one size fits all? One idea would be to actually make it user specific, the way I told you about, change the K matrix. The other is to make it query specific. Okay? Now, if you want to make it query specific, you already know how to do it, right? How do you make an importance computation query specific? Start with the pages that actually are similar to the query in the text sense, and then do the base set expansion, then do page rank just for that. That would be query specific page rank. Now, I did mention that that's the best way to make it query specific. But I did mention that the problem with that is you are spending costly computation time after the query has been given to you. Okay, so one idea would be to essentially do the query specificity, except probably at a higher level of resolution. Okay, so the idea would be to say each query falls into one of 10 buckets of queries, just as previously the user specificity too. I didn't say Rav's page rank, Nick's page rank, and somebody else's page rank. I said computer science people's page rank, real estate people's page rank, and so on. So that reduces the amount of page ranks you have to take around. And similarly, in this case, you could compute page ranks for particular topics, with respect to particular topics. Okay? And when you do that, in essence, what you would wind up doing is you would only take into account the links that are relevant to that particular topic. So on a page, there may be many links. You wind up taking links that are relevant to that particular topic. Okay? And then when a new query comes, you need to classify it into one of these big topics and then use the page rank from that. And there's a nice version of this, which actually, in fact, if the new query doesn't exactly fall into one of the five, you know, exactly one of the categories, but it falls 0.7 into this and 0.3 into this, then you take 0.7 times page rank from this bucket plus 0.3 times page rank from this bucket. That would make it into a topic-specific page rank. There's a nice paper that you could look up. It's actually linked from the readings list, Tahir Haveriwala's paper, on topic-specific page rank. So there is a user-specific page rank, there's a topic-specific page rank. Both are extensions, neither of which are used currently by Google. It just uses, everybody gets the same page rank. Okay. By the way, one of the neat things that guy did in deciding what should be the topics was to go to the DMOZ. How many of you know DMOZ? This is basically the directory. It's like Yahoo directory kind of a thing. And just takes the headings, arts, games, kids and teens, reference, topic, world, business, health. These are the topics. Okay. It's a nice little paper. You would be able to understand it. No, read it. It's not that hard to understand. And it tells you how, for example, you could change the page rank to be more query specific. Rather than make it query specific, you are making it topic specific. You do know how to make it query specific, it's just too costly. This way you have computed, instead of one rank matrix, one rank vector, you computed what, 16 page ranks for each page. Okay? And depending on what the query is, you would use the right combination of page ranks to decide. And he actually shows a nice little relevance, precision recall study showing that it does, as you expect, improve the relevance pages. Now, why doesn't Google care? Because you aren't paying anything for the survey. Okay. One other thing that, this is something that I already mentioned last class, so I'll just repeat it because hopefully you'll get it now more. In terms of the technical details of authorities hubs versus page ranks, if you just take them at their face value, the way they have been described in the original paper, okay, and you ask yourself, which is better? Which is better? One of the interesting things is the following. As I said last time, oftentimes it's probably less important who you think, what you think is the rank, and more important that you be stable with respect to your judgment about rank. Okay, the web is evolving. Every night there are more pages, every day there are more pages coming in, which basically means the link matrix is evolving. Now, some links may go away, some links may come in, okay? So you would like your computation to be relatively stable. I mean, the whatever you call is the rank, better be relatively stable for small changes. It's almost less important as to what the objective truth is. It's more important that you stick to your guns, right? And just keep repeating the same message. I mean, I'm not necessarily mentioning some particular person, but you stick to your guns and keep repeating the same thing even if you're originally wrong. That's more important than keeping flip-flopping, you know, in case you understand what I mean. So unfortunately, if you compare HITS algorithm and PageRank algorithm, as they come out of the original papers, PageRank is more stable, okay, than HITS algorithm. And you are not surprised at all by now, because you do know that the way the PageRank, the original algorithm is meant, you know, these components could be there. And once there are components, and if an extra link is added, suddenly things change drastically. So, by the way, it's interesting to see how they did this study. The study was done in the following way. They took a bunch of machine learning papers, okay, and they considered the links between machine learning papers. What are the links between machine learning papers? Citations. So they took the link matrix for the set of machine learning papers. Did the authorities hubs as well as the page rank computation on them and basically rank the pages in the correct order according whatever A and H says is the correct order and whatever page rank says is the correct order. They did this. Okay, and then what they did was they started by randomly removing 10% of the links from this matrix. They just randomly remove 10% of the links. Now, 10 being a small enough percentage, you would hope that the new ordinal ranking would be close to the previous ordinal ranking. And what they found is that that's not the case for authorities hubs, but that is the case for page rank. And that's when they figured out this stuff that I was telling you previously, which is that in fact it's connected to the stability of these computations. The authorities hubs, for example, is connected to the stability of the eigenvectors. And the stability of the eigenvectors is connected to the eigengap. If the eigengap is close to zero, that means it's basically the original data spread is more like a unit sphere. And so any small change would change the vectors drastically. Okay? Whereas if the eigengap is high to begin with, then it doesn't change as much. And having figured this out, and they can also explain to you, there is actually a very nice paper I have linked from the webpage. From the readings list, which explains this stuff. Having figured this out, they also show why, in fact, page rank is not as affected. And it turns out the main thing is this random surfer going off to other places every once in a while, which makes the graph be fully connected, with low weight, but fully connected. And that winds up making sure that the eigengap is large enough that this problem doesn't happen. Now, so you can play the same game for authorities hubs too, right? You can also say that even if, you already, in the HITS algorithm, you already considered the possibility that each link won't count the same. Remember, think of an idea where we talked about links amounting to different weights. We considered this notion of context of a link and compared that to the query and said, if the context of the link is highly similar to the query, then it will be 1, if not, it will be less. So in fact, you can just take that vector similarity number and multiply that by 1, and that would be your weight for that link. So you are already used to A and H computation with non-0-1 matrices, right? So this one, basically, you could do the same sort of everybody is connected to everybody with low weight in A and H too. And so you still can have both authorities and hubs separated from one single page rank, if you like that. Okay. One other idea that they try in this paper is what I mentioned last time, which is you can consider, if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to play with the adjacency matrix, then take the normal to basically take the subspace spanned by the first two eigenvectors. Okay, and that subspace is more stable than any of the vectors themselves. And when you talk about a subspace, you're talking about, it's a plane, so you are talking about, if you have only two vectors, it's a plane, right? And the way you can think of a plane as a single vector is to consider the normal to that plane. Now, you'll notice that normal vector has no connection to the eigenvector 1 or eigenvector 2. The only important thing is it's stable. And that's exactly what I was saying. Oftentimes, it's more important to be stable, because your guess is after the top first page and the very worst page, maybe everything in between is anybody's guess. Basically, it's very important that you are kind of stable than be exact, because there is no exact measure of importance that you can derive anyway. Okay. A couple of interesting things about page rank. Since we'll talk a little bit more about PageRank only because, you know, Google uses it, and so people have actually found all sorts of uses for misusing it. Okay. So consider the following scenario where you have three pages, A, B, C, right? And then here is the same three pages, A, B, C, okay? But C is now pointing to B, back to B, okay? So C was very nice to B because B was pointing to it. It then said, okay, I'll point back to you. That's all it did. So as far as you're concerned, these two graphs really are not that different. And yet, and by the way, these are the transition matrices. If I use the same exact ideas that I was mentioning earlier, these would be the transition matrices for these. You can check this, you know, by verifying this, you can check whether you understood transition matrices or not. Okay, the interesting thing is that if you were to run the page rank, which is basically the power iteration, in this case, you would assume, you do realize that all of these guys have the same rank. Okay, actually it should not be 5774, it should be 0.3333, you know, if you want to consider rank as a probability. Okay, however, because, so why did you think I got 5774? I must have taken the unit vector. Okay, and unit vector with the norm being, the Euclidean norm being 1. Okay. So, you know, it really is 0.3333. But, you know, you can start with any vector and you can always make it into a probability vector by now dividing this by the sum of all three, which will then make it 1 by 3. For this, it's 0.37, 0.66, and 0.64. What happened basically was B and C, just by colluding and pointing to each other, have increased their rank. That's good. So we can make a pact. You point to me, I point to you, and Google should feel that we are all very important. Okay? This is actually true. This is the way PageRank algorithm works. So by referring to each other, a cluster of pages can artificially boost their rank, although the cluster has to be big enough to make an appreciable difference. In this particular example, the web size was 3 and the cluster size was 2. So it's good enough. For us to get this kind of a tremendous improvement in page rank, you need a bunches and bunches of people together colluding. Enter third parties who would then take money from bunches and bunches of people and facilitate them pointing to each other. That's what page forms do. Okay? So because we won't help each other unless somebody is taking money from us. So we pay money to this page form guy and then point to some place, you know, in the form, and the form would then point to everybody. They would then point back to the form. So you have a nice little cluster. So everybody is happy except Google. And so what does Google do every once in a while? Despite their claims for full automation, they'll go and change some little thing in the page rank computation, such as ignore Rav's pages weight. And do you guys remember last year one page form guy actually sued Google? This is like a thief saying, I was nicely trying to get into your home and you locked the door, so I'm going to sue you. Okay. So, I mean, how dare you close the door? You know, I wanted to, I mean, it was free world, I was supposed to go in. So this poor guy from whatever, I think Alabama or something, you know, it was a nice little story. So the page form guy basically said, my livelihood is at danger. You know, I'm sure the congressman even intervened in his favor. And basically, Google just, you know, refreshed its page ranks. And every once in a while, they actually, if you become too successful, somebody will take notice. Right? The important thing is not to be too successful in actually out-Googling Google, because then somebody will take notice, and then in the next iteration, your entire page would be gone. I mean, your entire form would be discounted. And it's not that they improved. So what you would like to do is actually find an automated way of discovering page form. Right now, they have an automated way of hiring people who would automatically look and remove them every once in a while. Okay. If you can't do it with algorithms, you can always do it with dollars. Now that they have another, what, 16.1 billion or something, you know, they can hire even more people. So anyway, now there are some automated methods, but, you know, they're not, ultimately, everything important in the world is an arms race. Everything important in the world is an arms race. Okay, so there is a monetary advantage for people to increase their page rank. Rather than pay the advertisement funds, they would like to be the first page that comes up when somebody says whatever, used cars, okay, they want to come up first, okay. And so they would do whatever it takes to try to come up, and then Google has a monetary advantage. You know, previously they used to say their advantage was just people, they like you know, to be nice to the world. They want to give objective truth to the world. But really right now, there is another guy who's actually paying to be listed as the used car guy on the right-hand side. And if you can play with the rank, then they're losing the advertisement thing. So they have to punish these guys. Okay. So you could do this, for example, put a threshold on the number of intra-domain links that will count. Again, something that we talked about in the hits algorithm. Okay. Then, of course, then the page farm guy buys two different domains, and then they'll link to each other. Then they'll say, put the threshold on pairwise. And then they'll buy three, you know. So that's why every once in a while, if somebody is particularly effective, you just get them out. Okay. By the way, there is a very nice paper. Let me see if I can get it. Okay, there's a very nice, I've been talking about bunches of papers, so let me explain to you some of these papers. So that, of course, is Kleinberg's hits algorithm paper, right? Cancel it. And then that is the original PageRank little pamphlet, and they were pretty much at the same time. Although hits was actually, you know, they would like to say these were pretty much at the same time, but this is a Journal of ACM paper. And to get it into Journal of ACM, you should have submitted before you were born. It's one of those really long lead time journals. Okay, so in fact, Kleinberg really is the guy who used this idea first. Okay, and this paper in Ichikai 2001 analyzes the stability of authorities' hubs and page rank computation. That was the one with those nice eigenvectors changing their directions. This is the topic-specific page rank. Okay, and this one is actually nice too. I might or might not have time to talk about it, but you know, we are basically acting as if PageRank is just power iteration, right? Except it's a power iteration and a matrix on steroids. It's a matrix of, a billion by billion, right? Okay, so how do you actually run PageRank algorithm on a billion by billion matrix without memory errors? You know, a lot of people are paid just to come up with those kinds of good implementations and algorithms. And you should look at this Haveli-Wallah's old approach as of 3 years back. By the way, where do you think is Haveli-Wallah right now? Google. You know, that's one way. You know, you solve their problems, they'll hire you. So he basically does what's like a nested loop join. How many of you know nested loop joins from database courses? You know, in databases, people are used to this problem, which is if you have large relations and small main memory, how do you avoid thrashing? Okay, and how do you avoid thrashing is essentially to get by with the small main memory in some ingenious ways. And one ingenious way is essentially to split the relation pieces by pieces and join them in pieces. That's called block nested loop join. And that's what he winds up doing for this page rank link matrix. What he does is, so here are two things. I'll look at that in a minute, but let me just complete the reading list here. One final other thing while we are here is, in fact, this is important stuff. Next class, we're going to be discussing this paper. And I correct myself, you're going to be discussing this paper, Anatomy of Large-Scale Hypertextual Web Search Engine, which basically brings together all the stuff that we discussed about hypertext engines. And this is the last paper somebody from Google ever wrote before they decided it's not worth writing papers. In fact, you should read the introduction of the paper. It's very beautiful. It talks about research for research's sake and why it is important to have search engines which are unaffected by commercial considerations and how Brin and Page are going to make such a thing. And they did publish it. After that, I think somebody hit them on their head and said, you really shouldn't be talking like this. You should make billions. And so they did. You should read this paper. It's a very nice paper in the sense it's mostly an engineering issue, and we should talk about some of the engineering issues. You know the theory already, okay? But you'll notice that there are many, many ways they cut corners such that it actually scales, okay? And this paper tells you how they were doing it when Google was still a lab project at Stanford, with I think 2 or 3 million pages. Okay, we don't know what they're doing, with billion pages, but this gives you an idea. I like this actually. This essentially is connected to the page farm idea. A guy who had a cat made his cat be the first cat which comes up when you say cat in the Google image search. And it turned out that the way he actually did it was all his friends were in Google, so they just tweaked the algorithm such that his cat came up, at least for a while. So you should read this, and it's actually fun paper to read in the sense more of a parody. This is again a serious paper you should read. This is Challenges in Web Search Engines, Hensinger, Motwani, Silverstein. It's an easy to read paper. It's a very easy to read paper which talks as of 2002, what did, Silverstein is the president of Google or the CTO of Google. Motwani is one of the advisors of the guys. Hensinger, until day before yesterday, was chief technologist in Google. Now she's made enough money, so she retired to Switzerland. I'm waiting for Brin and Page to do the same. But they were looking from inside and talking about how do we, what are the challenges from like a near-term point of view as of 3 years back, And it's all these bad guys who are trying to defeat PageRank. That turns out to be the most important challenges, you'll notice. But it's worth reading. Okay, so read this and this by next class. Okay. Anyway, so I think I've done enough of this comparing PageRank and authorities hub, so I won't do that anymore. Okay, so let me do one more thing. Okay, let's do this. Okay, this is sort of my take on what is there beyond PageRank, and a couple of points. I mean, there are several of them out there. As I said, PageRank is one size fits all. It's not user specific, it's not topic specific. You can make them both. Now, the trick is to make it user and topic specific without breaking its back. Basically, after the query, you have a couple of milliseconds. Throwing in the network latency, you have a couple of milliseconds before people start redoing the query because they think Google is dead. Okay, so how would you, anything majorly online is deadly here, at least for general search engines. And then the other issue is there may be a discrepancy between backlinks and the actual popularity as measured in hits, as well as page rank. By hits, I mean actually the number of people who actually go into that page. Okay, so in fact, one of the things that Google doesn't say anymore is actually they track the popularity of the pages, the actual popularity of the pages in terms of how many times people went to this page. And you do this basically at certain places using proxies, proxy servers, which will keep track of how many requests were there for a certain page. Okay, so this way actually you can get rid of the importance as given by backlinks and say popularity is what popularity is. And if everybody is going there, let me go there too. So for that, actually, you guys notice that the actually going to the page is different from putting a link to the page. And if you ever forget, remember Mark Twain's quote on classics. Okay? He basically said, a classic is something that everybody wishes they have already read, but nobody actually has. Okay? So we buy the Shakespeare classics, but then we are reading Dave Barry's most of the time when we have time. Okay? So backlinks are our definition of what classic important pages are. Okay? But we don't necessarily follow it ourselves. You know, we put that backlink and we are doing the other stuff that we are looking at and we don't want our friends to know, we don't put backlinks to those. Okay? So it's important to capture that too. And then I think this is a kind of a very interesting point. Google might be its own undoing in terms of page backlinks. Whoever puts backlinks anymore? Do you guys put a backlink to my page? You should, right? You're taking my class and I have, you know, I thought I've controlled your life, you know, for a while at least. And, you know, I'm putting important stuff on the page and you should all be putting it. And I'm hoping that my page rank will improve. Nobody does. Because they'll forget it and they'll say, you know, CSE 494 common party to Google and Google will tell you where I am. Okay? So if Google is, to the extent it's successful, backlinks are out of the window anyway. Okay, so it's an interesting question. And then as we go on, for the one more interesting thing, in fact, I was just looking at the other day, is the following. Basically, page rank is, you have to be around before people put a link to you. Think of a highly backlink page as a classic. You can be a classic in your own lifetime, but that's more like an exception than the rule. Most people become classics after they die, right? So basically, for a page to increase its backlinks, it should have been around for a long time. Suppose a great page came into being day before yesterday night. Its page rank is not going to be high. It's a great, high quality page, but its page rank is not going to be high. So how do you increase the chance that high quality, popular, high quality pages would somehow break through into the top 10? Okay? So it turns out this is connected to, this is a problem, this is a real problem. And in fact, somebody wrote a little paper in VLDB 2005 as we speak. That is, you know, that just got over like 2 months back. What they basically said is this mind-numbingly obvious idea, which is with some small probability, give the underdog a chance. Okay? With some small probability, the guy with the low page rank will be put up. Now, don't laugh at this. This is, you know, if you know, in life, you normally have, based on the current knowledge of the world, you have decided where everything is, etc. And so every day, you do the same sort of things to go home. Okay, after this, I'll go down, I'll get into my car, and I'll drive on the same exact streets, and I'll go to the school, pick up my son, and go back and drop him at home, and we, you know, do whatever thing. So there's a plan which is based on my partial knowledge. It may well be that there are better roads. It may be that there are roads on which they're giving away free gold and silver. Okay? But since I have partial knowledge about the world and I'm sticking to it with all my might, I'll never find it. You know, the classic example is you send you know, a probe to Mars and there's an alien saying hello to the guy in the probe and they say, oh, we're too far, you know, we have to go to Mars right now. We can't say hello back to you right now. You know, missing the entire point that, you know, if you can find a nice little alien, you know, NASA could be really, you know, much more popular than it is already, okay? So the important point is, in any of these complex issues where you wind up improving your background knowledge as well as executing with respect to what background knowledge you have, you wind up having to combine exploitation, which is exploiting what you already know, with exploration, which is trying to take a chance. If you take too much of an exploration, you never amount to anything. If you exploit, you basically are not exploring possible alternatives. So there should be a little probability that, you know, you also explore. And in the beginning, as a kid, you should be exploring a lot more than just sitting in front of the Game Boys. And as you grow old, like me, you should stop exploring and just sit in front of a computer and write papers, which is exploiting whatever little you know. But in between, you know, the probabilities change as to how much you explore versus exploit. And this paper that I was talking about in VLDB 2005, which tried to answer this question, it's answering the same question of exploration versus exploitation in the context of web page ranking. And so it's VLDB is a 12-page conference paper with small font. And so you could guess what you need to do to fill 12 pages with this idea. And then go look at it. Then you'll realize what you need to do. Okay. Of course, they try various p-values and actually show which one has higher improvement. But I think the idea itself is a nice idea. You should do exploration on top of exploitation. And then, by the way, everybody and their brother wants to talk about customization, but nobody does it, really. I mean, customize with respect to topics, customize with respect to users, customize with respect to the place from which the query is originating. Some of that is already happening. You know, for example, Google snags your zip code, and then it can use that to change the order in which it presents results to you. Okay. Okay. A couple of things that I want to say about crawling, which is basically this unsung issue of getting pages that are on the web into your database, right? I mean, before Google or anybody can actually start talking about page ranks, et cetera, and, you know, building inverted indices, et cetera, they need to first go and get the pages, okay? So what that means is crawling. And you already know mostly that, you know, people will be sending, I mean, all these guys will be sending these crawlers to pages, right? And they will bring the page back and throw it into the database. And now, simply, it's easy to, actually, in fact, there's a last slide in this series says, it's trivial to write a trivial crawler, okay? It's easy to write an easy crawler, okay? But it will only be trivial in the sense, the scale-up issues are humongous. We are talking about things such as how many threads do you want to have? How many crawler threads are going on? Okay, and how often do you crawl? For example, which pages do you crawl more? Okay, do you have any idea? So, for example, ultimately in the beginning they have to have crawled everything. Okay, the normal way the crawling would work is what? You start with some seed pages. Then essentially take all the links from them, go to those pages, take all the links from them, go to those pages, take all the links from them, go to those pages, until you start getting duplicates. Now I'm blithely saying duplicates. How do you know that you got duplicate? Well, the obvious thing is look at this page and look at the entire database of pages and see which is, whether it's the same. You die. Just die. Okay? You cannot actually do, you know, page to all the pages in the database comparison in any realistic sense. Normally what you wind up doing is you would do things like checksums or signatures. What? Okay, so why not based on URL? Yeah, but you can't assume. That's the problem. In fact, one of the things that you would be talking about in this Hinzinger, Motwani, Silverstein paper is this whole issue of spoofing, where a URL acts as if it's a different URL. Okay, you can do that. And first of all, you can have the same content in multiple different ways. So for example, some of this is legally done. You know that Yahoo probably has yahoo.com and Yahoo, just one O.com and some other variation of its name.com, because if they don't, somebody else will buy and put nice little pictures on that and sell stuff to them. Because any possible incorrect spelling of any popular link has already been bought. Okay, and so you then rebuy it back from them and you say, if you either say Yahoo or something else, which are all the same, we'll still get you to our page. Now the moment they did it, they already legally are getting you to the same page in three different ways. Okay. And furthermore, by the way, there are also some syntactic issues. Many times, the URL that you get would be a dynamically generated URL, which has a bunch of junk like the session ID, etc., plus the real URL. So at the minimum, you need to be able to remove that other junk. Otherwise, in fact, if you throw in a session ID along with each URL, then there are infinite variations of the same URL. But again, this is an interesting point. You know, I forget this great quote about theory versus practice, but I'll remember and tell you. But in practice, these kinds of issues come because the web isn't, you know, well regulated. It's its feature, it's its bug. The reason we like web is because it's not regulated. The reason Google hates web is because it's not regulated. Okay, but you know, it's so because of which you need to do duplicate detection. And for doing duplicate detection, you need things like basically signatures, such that if the signatures are the same, then very high probability that the pages are the same. If the signatures are not the same, there is still probability that the pages are the same, you know, because it has an extra couple of articles like the thrown in between the two pages, and you would think they're different. Okay. Another issue about crawling is how frequently do you visit pages? In the beginning, everybody needs to be pulled in once. Okay? But after that, you can't just be done. You can't say, I crawled, I'm done. You have to keep on crawling. The question is, which ones do you crawl fast? What? No. That's domain specific information. I want to know, is there something that you can tell me as to what should be the order in which sites should be crawled? Yeah, page rank. Bootstrap yourself. Okay, so you get a bunch of pages, and then you computed their page rank, and then you crawl the important ones first. However, is page rank the only thing? Suppose it turns out that there is a page for US Constitution, you know, official version, the Library of Congress version of the US Constitution. Okay. It's not changing that much. So what's the point in crawling it a million times just because it's an important document? I mean, lots of people are trying to change it, but it's not changing that much. Okay. And so you want the importance, but you also want the rate of change of the page. How would you measure the rate of the change of the page? Well, the last 15 times I crawled this page, it has changed not even once, versus it has changed 15 times, as versus it has changed 7 times. Those are the rates of change. So you can combine the rate of the change and the popularity of the page to decide which ones to crawl first. Actually, most crawlers such as Google do it, actually. Okay? Another interesting thing is, avoid overloading a site. It's again, they don't really care. It's just they would like to say that crawlers try not to overload the site, and in designing the crawler, you essentially try not to send too many requests at the same time to the same site. A third issue is, what if somebody does not want to be crawled? I mean, so they want to essentially have privacy in the middle of the highway. How do you provide that to them? You know, well, you basically act as if you provide it to them by, you know, the robots.txt protocol. How many of you know this stuff? Okay. So if you don't, look at the rest of the slides. You know, this is a little simple protocol that everybody ignores, which you are supposed to have on your directory, saying this subdirectory you can crawl, this subdirectory you can't crawl. And so all good search engines should look for robot.txt, promptly ignore them. In fact, some of them probably give higher weightage to the ones you said don't crawl, and then cache them. What's worse is Google caches the things that it crawls, which is actually an ethical issue. In fact, people are getting into all sorts of troubles because Google caches. You know, there is no such thing as the past Piccadillos that people have forgotten. You know, it's all there in the Google cache. And so they crawl and they cache. And so robot.txt basically is a little protocol to tell the crawlers not to crawl your page if you don't like them to. Another most important thing is actually for general search engines, it's quite clear that the entire web needs to be crawled. But suppose I were to here today want to start a search engine, a portal, what they call portal, which is basically a search engine for a special topic. So bicycles are all. Okay? So if you're into bicycles, you come to our site and we will give you the best information about the bicycles. Now, given that Google is using topic insensitive page rank, in fact, you are better off, if you are interested in bicycles, you are better off going to bicyclesaraz.com, which I haven't yet started, but you know, if there is such a thing, you can go there because they would have topic specific page ranks. Now, the question is, how does bicyclesaraz crawl the world? How does sightseer.com, which basically is only interested in computer science papers, and they're not making too much money, but they're interested in that, and they only want to crawl computer science papers. How do they crawl that? One idea is, let Google do the job, and they just take a subset of Google. Doesn't work, because Google won't give it to you. The other idea is, crawl entire web, and after you crawl the page, if it doesn't look like a computer science paper page, throw it out. It works, but it's highly, highly inoptimal, because you did all the work in actually crawling. And now you're saying it's not useful. What you want to do is, before looking into the page, know whether or not there are likely to be papers there. This almost looks like magic, but that's what prediction is all about. So if I have a real estate agent page in front of me and there are a bunch of links from there, should I be, you know, and I somehow by mistake got into this real estate agent's page, should I be now crawling all the links on the real estate agent's page to bring more bicycle pages and more computer science bibliography pages? No. Okay, this is actually a very important idea called topic-specific crawling, where you try to develop a classifier. A classifier is a learner which tells you, given a page, is it worth going forward on the links in that page or not? Okay, and it would say, for real estate guy, forget it. For a computer science, anybody, go forward on them. Okay, so that basically reduces the number of unnecessary pages you crawl. Okay, that's my discussion about crawling, basically. And you can look at the rest of the slides. I'll talk more if there are questions next time about crawling. Okay, we'll stop here. Please give the feedback thingies to the TA who would then shuffle them and give them to me.